Accession number 27785, Mr. John Gant, Reel 9. Now, what happened in the... I mean, we'll just get you back into civilian life now. What happened when you got back? You got back about February 1946.
Yeah.
And you were demobbed finally in May 46.
Yeah.
That might have been... You might have been released
a bit earlier than that. That might be leave. Yeah, that was... That a lot of leave. I was home... Well, I'll tell you as you want to know it. Well, when we were getting down to Portsmouth, they said you could have some leave. So, lovely. So, they split us into two watches, and one watch could go ashore tomorrow for 2 days, and then come back, and the others would go. So, went ashore with all... Oh, the customs people had to come aboard. Now, apparently they all always do the officers first, and the underlings afterwards. And there was some dense people about... I've got my a box of cigars for my dad in Bombay, and a silk dressing gown, and for myself. What do you call it? It goes over the back of a settee.
Don't get bogged down
in the
street. No.
What happened? I declared I was allowed 200, so I thought, well, I'll play cool, I'll declare 250. So I was entitled to take 200, sure. So he said, you've got 250 cigarettes, and you're going to shore tomorrow. So I said, that's right. He said, well, you only want to take 200. You'll smoke 50 tonight, won't you? So he's putting his words into his mouth, isn't he? So I said, of course I will. I'm a heavy smoker. So I got through, but there was one chap that was so idiot. In Bombay, he'd bought his wife. He knew his wife's size of shoes, or his girlfriend, not wife, his girlfriend, and there was a immaculate pair of shoes, ladies' shoes, high heels, and so he declared them. So he said, I've got some shoes. What are they? He showed them. He said, they're for me. I'm going to wear them. And no. He says, you got it all wrong. That's for my girlfriend. He said, yeah, but you're going to wear them. They're for your own use, isn't it? And he threw his arms up and he says, So he took a few quid off him for duty. As I say, well, if you're going to be so stupid as that, you deserve to lose. Anyway, I pushed through. The boys used to come up to the dockyard with barrows and that, because take you up to the station. They used to take all your kit and your suitcase. And I was sweating walking through the dockyard gate in case you got pulled over, because there was all this stuff that I could have done for. And they would just have a nice leave, went home. On the train, it's interesting, on the tube, I'd got the suitcase, big suitcase, with a sack of bananas tied to the side. And on the train, there's a little boy. 3 or 4 years old, I suppose. What are they, Mummy? He's just pointing to the bananas. So she said, oh, you haven't seen them for so long, you know. So I said, would you like one? So she said, well, I don't know. It doesn't know what it is. I said, well, I broke one off. I said, give it to him. I said, and you have the other half if you don't like it. Anyway, that's, now my brother, he saw them. Oh, he said, they're for me. I said, no, not all for you. That's for some are for mum and dad and brother Derek and my sister. That was, I was home. When they went back, I didn't go back to the ship because the ship had already gone up to, doesn't matter. Anyway, it was part of Glasgow. And, well, that's where we got demobbed up there. And they gave, I had to go to Havant. No, sorry. I get a train from Glasgow down to the Bob Close. So I got suit and shirts and trousers. But yeah, it was quite a nice suit I got, really. I was pleased with it until the moth got it.
And this was earlier than it says in the report. It says May.
I had me so much money and so much leave that they had to pay me for my leave. So I was still on a few bob a day of what it was, which they paid me until May.
May, yes, because you're formal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what were you going to do? We'll just get you back. We don't do much more now. Just to get you back into civilian life.
Yeah.
You've been working as a van boy.
Yeah.
What work did you go back? What happened when you got out of the
Navy? I got home and I was one of the local lads that had come home. So I thought, well, I'll go and get myself a little job until I get actually demobbed, you know. So I went and got a little job up the Elstree Way in a factory, and they told me how much I'd get, and they were piecework. So they gave me, it was making cricket balls.
Yes, I must admit, you've gone to a factory before, hadn't you, from the van?
Oh, yeah.
I got that wrong, yeah. So you went back to factory work, but a different factory.
Oh, yeah. I'll have one, please, if I may. Don't mind me having
You're being recorded.
Of course. Sorry. I didn't. They moved in the meantime during the war.
So what work did you get in the cricket ball factory?
Yeah, making practice cricket balls, plastic and rubber. And they said, we give you 4 pence for each one you make. So, and the chaps, two blokes that I was working with doing the same thing, and they was getting 5 pence. So I thought, well, that's fair enough. When I'm expert enough, and I'm doing as good as them, I'll get 5 pence. Oh, no. I saw the governor, and said, you know, the 5 pence is what they're worth. Mine are only worth fourpence. So he said, well, that's how it is. I said, well, I'd joined the union by then. I said, when so the joke's during, I explained to him, I said, they've not given me the right rate for the job. So he said, well, there's not much I can do. You're a union. You're supposed to be representing us. So I said, forget it. I tear the ticket up. I said, goodbye. I went up and saw the personnel manager. I said, I'm leaving because you're being unfair. I said, and I don't want your job. And with that, I went out and I lived on... I'd got... when I left Scotland with Demobbed, they gave me the chocolate and all that, and also a posted office book with the gratuity in it. That was 60-odd pound. Now, in them days, that was a lot of money. So I thought, well, I can live on this, you know, until the lads come home. So I did. Then I went on a government-sponsored, organised by the government, work opportunity. So I went to Watford and went on a carpentry course. Yes, yeah. I was always keen, and I was always at school in the carpentry. You used to have to go from school to another school to do carpentry, but I was interested, and that's what I did eventually.
So you became a carpenter?
Yeah.
That was your career, wasn't it?
Up until it became... If the job came to a stop, I'd have to go and pick up a box of tools and go and find for another job. But that was all right. I was married then. I was going to get married. I said, well, this is no good for a married man not getting money. So I packed that up. Well, I worked with him for quite a time and done quite well. But that was getting near to be getting married, and I thought, well, that's not a lot of good. Well, in fact, I was still working after I got engaged, because I used to have to get home to my wife's mother's house to get to where I was working.
Did
jack of all trades. I used a little bit of everything.
Now, what about your membership of the Royal Naval Society? Is that important?
Yep.
And why is that? What's important?
Oh. Reminds me of how I spent my early life. Good companionship. Laughs. Talking old, spinning a few yarns, you know. That's what made most of it. I can't now because as much. We used to go to other branches and have a social evening with them, and have a good time. But dancing was out for me with his legs like that. They send the bus around to pick us up, but not at home. We used to have to go up to the nearest point. That made hard work, getting uphill towards up that way, as you've experienced, I expect.